Podcast411.com. Listen different.
June 8th, 2005. Item number 47. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. On today's show, our guest will be John from The M Show. But before we get into the interview with John, a couple quick news and notes. First, I'd like to send a thank you to Wichita Rutherford from the 5 Minutes with Wichita podcast. Please check out his podcast for doing the introduction to our show, and I've got a couple more from him I'll be trying out in the next two shows. And also talking about Wichita Rutherford, some of you may have heard the promo that was played on the Daily Source Code that Wichita did for me. Great promo. If you would like to hear it, go to our main site at www.podcast411.com. I have a link up there at the top for the promo. You can listen to it. And people have sent me emails asking if they can play the promo on their podcast. Absolutely. Please play it. Play it often. Play it many, many, many times. Feel free to play it as often as you like. Wichita, thanks again for doing that. I really appreciate it. Second, I'd like to thank everybody that's voted for us at Podcast Alley. Really appreciate the support. If you voted, kudos. If you haven't voted, please do. And finally, I have decided to make the trip to Seattle to Gnomedex at the end of the month. So if anybody who's listening, any of the listeners are going to be out at Gnomedex, also please send me an email. I want to make sure we hook up and talk a little. I like to meet people face-to-face. Well, that's going to do it for the notes and news. We're going to go ahead and get right into the interview with John from The M Show. Here we go. John, welcome to the show finally.
Hi, thanks, Rob.
And I say finally because the first email you sent to me about coming on the show was February 27th. So it's been 3 months.
When I first come on, yeah.
I am sorry for taking so long to get you on here. My apologies. But I'm glad to finally have you on.
I had kind of some Skype things to work through, and it just took a while to get things going. But yeah, glad we made it.
Tell me about the Skype thing. I know that all too well. Obvious first question, and what was your first computer?
My first computer was when I was in fourth grade. I talked my parents into the fact that they had to get me a TRS-80 Model 1. So that was pretty old school there, you know, loading my programs up on cassette tapes. And I did have the upgrade, though, so I had a full 16K to work with on that thing.
And, you know, you could actually, on that machine, jimmy the pin sockets inside it and then piggyback memory to get it up to 32K.
See, I wish I had known that too, because I did, you know, I was maxing it out, you know, it didn't take many lines of code to get the thing to crash, but, and you know, I never got into playing around outside of BASIC too. I wish I had done that, because there were people doing stuff in Assembler and doing some other funky games, but I just never dug that deep.
Yeah, my third computer, my first was a TRS-80 Color, my second was an Atari 800. My third was a TRS-80 Mod 3. And I had a friend who had a TRS-80 Mod 1 also. So I'm familiar with those machines. What was the first podcast you listened to?
The first cast I actually had listened to is not even around anymore. It was the Reality Bitch Slap, which was C.C. Chapman that does Accident Hash now, and a friend of his, Big Mike, who he actually has his own show now, Extra Super Action Show. But it was just kind of a, you know, two guys, late 20s, early 30s, talking, just jabbering about, you know, what was kind of bothering them or what they had to complain about. And of course, I got that and Daily Source Code. Between the two of those, that got me hooked.
C.C. Chapman and Reality Bitch Slap was the third interview I ever had on my show.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that. That was after I had come on.
Now, you can actually go, the interview's still up. If you can, you know, take an Excedrin and listen to the audio quality. But, yeah, it's still up in my past podcast link on there. The link to the Reality Bitch Slap takes you to a page that says it's no longer up anymore. But, you know, Accident Hash is still. But, yeah, CC was the third person. Chris Rockwell was the first one I interviewed. And then Tim Henson from The Distorted View was the second one. Yeah, Chris Rockwell, Daily Download, Tim Henson, Distorted View, and CC Chapman. Those were the first three.
Yeah. CC has been, you know, ground zero guy. He's been involved with so much stuff. And so many other people I talk to are like, oh, yeah, I heard about it from CC. It's just amazing.
And I heard you had him on, 3-part interview with CC. And CC is a really great guy, you know. So, CC, if you're out there, you know, thanks for your support over these past few months.
Yeah, I'm lucky. He's just, he works at one of the colleges just down the road from me. So we had been emailing back and forth, and, you know, finally we had sent enough messages that I just said, hey, you know, where are you at? Let me come and talk to you. And then I'm trying to think. I had talked to him we had actually talked about getting together, and then the next week that Adam Curry had actually announced that he was going to be doing a lot of the independent music stuff. So that was like, all right, I've got to go over there and, you know, record some stuff. And yet the it's funny, parts 2 and 3 that I had done with him are just kind of, you know, his personal stuff, and it's good to find out about him. But that first chunk has some great stuff about what you know, they're hoping to do with Pod Show, and it's if you haven't listened to it, there's still stuff on there that Adam hasn't really kind of kicked around, so it's worth listening to.
What podcast do you listen to now on a regular basis?
I guess on the subscribe list, I've got Susie Chase's The Groove, which is just R&B tunes that she runs. Media Artist Secrets, this guy Franklin McMahon up in Portland, Maine, a photographer, has some cool stuff about kind of doing your own business, your own promotion stuff. Of course, Podcast 411. You know, to replace Reality Bitch Slap, there's NOSAC, N-O-S-A-C. That's two guys that are kind of local that do kind of like Howard Stern on steroids, you know, just no censorship or regulation to get in the way of that. And then Major Nelson, I listen to his Xbox podcast. It's kind of funny to listen to that because it's, you know, even though it's not supposed to be the company line, there's definitely some editing that's going on over there. And then Engadget too, I guess, is the last one too. I like to just hear the latest devices from those guys.
Now tell our listeners more about the format and content of your podcast.
Format is 10 minutes news, talk, and entertainment. So I try to keep it really tight. I basically just start in the first 3 or 4 minutes is usually whatever I've seen in the news over the past 4 or 5 days. And it tends to focus more on either business, marketing, high tech kind of stuff. But if there's bigger issues in the news, you know, I'll bring in anything that just catches my attention. Over in the talk section, I usually try and include just 2 or 3 question interviews with either people I know or just anybody of note that I can get that I feel like talking to. That's been the biggest challenge, is trying to line up, you know, guests for that. So, you know, I'm not telling you anything about that. And then entertainment, I usually close with just a minute or two of book or DVD that I've seen that I can recommend. And then I, you know, can direct folks over to themshow.com so that they can click through the Amazon links to check out those DVDs and movies.
What is it that made you choose the format and the whole design of your show to keep it that 10-minute mark?
I used to commute. I had about an hour commute over from like 2000 to 2004, and I used to listen to Imus in the morning. It was amazing because there's like a 15-minute sweet spot. You know, out here it was like from about 6:30 to 6:40, where, you know, he'd hit the news quick, and then he'd have an interview usually with somebody like Colin Powell or George Will or, you know, a senator, somebody huge, and then he would just talk. You know, usually they would have an author plug in a book. You know, if I didn't get it in the car at 6:30, if I got in the car at 6:40, I was stuck listening to 20 minutes of, you know, commercials for Vermont Teddy Bear or, you know, his salsa or whatever. And so I always loved that segment. And so with the podcast, that was my idea from the beginning. It was like, I'm going to reproduce that segment right there, the chunk that I love. And, you know, with podcasting, you can listen to it whenever you want. I mean, it literally beats out, you know, the best that broadcasting can do because you can time shift it.
Then I guess what is ironic is in San Francisco, you kind of, because you were on KYOU, kind of replaced Imus out there.
I was blown away when they had opened up that website, and one of the first comments I saw up there was somebody who was complaining about Imus, saying, you know, why'd you get rid of Imus for these podcasts? And that just kind of blew me away, the fact that podcasting, because you can do whatever you want whenever you want, you know, you've got the ability. Now is the time for anybody to take the shots at the big guys.
How many shows have you had aired on KYOU?
You know, I think they've only picked up maybe 4 different episodes, and it was hard for me to tell which episodes they were running at times. I found that they seem to, from the way they run it, they pick like 3 or 4 that they really like, and then they recycle them throughout the day, and it seems to change every day too. At first I thought it was just the coolness factor of getting it, you know, on a radio market somewhere else, but I didn't notice a lot of traffic on the website. And as I thought about it more myself too, it's like, you know, I really don't listen to AM at all, and I don't know too many people that do. So I think it's great out there that the concept of podcasting keeps growing and it's out there, but, and even the submission process is just kind of a hassle too, so I haven't uploaded any files over there in a long time. So
one of the other people I've interviewed has been up there, Sam Whitmore from The Closet Deadhead. He's had his up there too. Playing a Deadhead podcast in San Francisco. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, that's about as slam dunk as you could get. If they had a queer cast of some kind too, that would be another slam dunk out there, that's for sure.
Queer ear for the straight guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, register it, someone.
Yeah, jump
go,
now.
Go, I'm not going to spend my $27 at GoDaddy to register the .com.net.org on that one. But if you do register Queer Ear for the Straight Guy, send me a promo and I'll play it on the show.
Yeah, and a kickback.
When did you put up your first podcast?
I think it was probably end of February. I think it was end of February, early March at the latest. This is like my 28th show, and I've been averaging around 2 a week. So, yeah, you know, it's funny. They're starting to pile up a little bit, but it's just amazing how fast the thing has grown just in the past month and a half.
What can your listeners look forward to in future shows?
The biggest thing that I've been working on is just continually trying to upgrade the quality of the interviews, get things more on target. I was inspired by your interview with John Edwards, and I have been pushing hard here to get Mitt Romney, our governor, because he's probably one of the favored candidate for the Republicans in the next election. But it's just unbelievable how the difference between the left has just been all over podcasting, and I'm just, you know, I keep telling these people, hey, this is the next big thing. You know, Edwards is going to come out and say he invented podcasting, and you guys aren't even going to know what it is. You've got to jump on board with this. So anyways, again, tight content, 10 minutes, I can guarantee you're going to get something worthwhile to listen to, and hopefully we'll still be able to keep ratcheting up the quality of the interviews.
One of the things I heard you mention is that you were looking at doing some time-shifted interviews.
Yeah, that's something that I picked up. There's a Boston area guy here that does a podcast called Five Questions over at fivequestions.net, and his whole idea is on Monday he comes out with five questions, and everybody sends in answers, and on Friday he takes and picks the best of the best and fires it back out. Yeah, the questions are, you know, they're just pretty basic. Like, you know, what's your favorite song, or, you know, what would your theme song be? There's nothing heavy to it. But I'd really like to try and explore this more with podcasting, because I think that there's something there. This is just like real early stage stuff. I haven't really figured out what the best way to run with this is, but there's got to be something about the fact that you can have people recording audio files and piece them back together. I've seen, I think it was Dave Weiner and some other people were doing some stuff where, you know, somebody would lay down a bass track and another person would do some vocals, and you could keep passing these pieces around. And it's funny how it kind of, it mirrors a little bit you know, mashups too. But I think there's an opportunity to do something between interviews and maybe radio drama type stuff too, by, you know, almost like an audio Mad Libs or something like that. You see all these people that do all these podcasts of, you know, me and my buddy, and, you know, it's great for the first 2 weeks when they can get their schedules together, but then, you know, third and fourth week, bang, they just vanish, because it's just a lot of work to get the logistics down.
Scott Fletcher, Podcheck Weekly, his last show came out last night. He called them pod faders. So, Scott, I'm giving you credit. You had asked for credit. You're getting it. Pod fader is what he calls them.
There will be no future feuds over who created the pod fader tune. And
but what's ironic was Scott said that on his third podcast. He goes, well, you know, these people that only get around to five shows and then disappear. I'm like, well, Scott, you're only on your third show. Okay. On show six, let's not be calling you a pod fader.
Yeah, it is amazing to see. Well, it's, you know, people kind of get psyched about the technology and the concept, and after they proved it, they got nothing left to do. So
I'm sure Scott's going to be around for a while, so... One question, we might as well get this in now before I forget, is to tell our listeners where to locate your show and how to contact you.
Yeah, the easiest is just, I've got themshow.com, so www.themshow.com, and you can email me over at john@themshow.com, john@themshow.com.
I noticed on your site you have the Amazon links through for items that you mention on the show for you to purchase, what do they call the associate links. Do you get any money from that? Is that really worth, for people that are thinking about putting that on their site, is that worth them doing, and how do they do that?
To be honest, it's not. I mean, folks that are listening to a podcast, that they want the file to download and carry around with them. It, you know, you're getting a 100-to-1 or less conversion rate. People are not trolling over on the website. I would recommend for everybody to do it, to go through it. It doesn't cost anything to become an associate member. And I would even, you know, I do have on the actual show page, the blog page, the one best thing that I can recommend, because people tend to want to go to that. I have on the homepage like the last five or six things I've done. That's more work than it's worth. This is actually, I think, a violation of the terms of the agreement, but once you have it set up, if you're ordering from a different machine or someplace else, you can use your own links and you're going to get 15% off. So, you know, it's like printing yourself a coupon. But I do get some good links. It's worth doing. But yeah, don't expect it to, if you've got a job making 60 grand a year, don't quit in hopes that your Amazon links are going to be able to cover the rent for you, because that's not the case.
What hardware and software are you using to record and edit your show?
I have like three rigs actually that I kind of use. I have, just the home rig. I'm on Windows XP, so it's PC based. I do all the editing over there. I use a piece of software called Goldwave, which I don't know of anybody else that's using it, but it's just kind of a classic audio editor, and it's been around for a long time. I was actually originally used it before there were any good editors that could transform WAV files to MP3s back. This was in like maybe 98 when I was burning all my music to MP3, kind of getting rid of the CDs. Kind of for a more mobile one, I've got Dell Latitude LS that I use the same box boxes you to the M Audio Mobile Pre USB, and then I've got a Shure SM58 mic. I actually coughed up for a decent mic, and then I could, you know, I can take that same rig, the Latitude LS, on the road when I'm driving in the car. I just have it on the on my right on the seat, and I use a just a cheapo kind of gaming headphone mic. And then for super mobile, I do have a Trio 600, and I can just use PAR Audio, and I can just throw that down the table. The sound quality on that is pretty shaky most of the time, but you know, it's kind of great just because I've always got the phone with me, so I can record anything anytime.
And by the way, if you hear any lawnmowers, as you're talking, I'm turning my mic off. You can't hear it on your end because I'm turning it off on the mixer, so the recording side. Don't worry about background noise on my end. It won't be there.
Yeah. Isn't that it's almost worthwhile because I find myself doing that too. You just drop one side or the other, keep passing the ball back and forth.
Early on, I looked at some blogs to see, you know, advice on doing interviews. And one of the pieces of advice was a person said, don't be worried about dead space. He said, you know, ask a question and then let the person talk. And then if you hear a pause, don't jump in. Let them, you know, because sometimes they're gathering their thought. And sometimes they're afraid when they hear a dead spot, it'll force them to continue to talk. And then at the end, you edit all that dead spot out. So I go through and edit out ums, uhs, and dead spots.
Yeah, I mean, because you're casting around a lot. You have to be doing at least a good hour of cleaning up, no?
4 hours. 3 hours.
Yeah, okay, so you're going huge. Yeah.
Yeah, as a minimum, it's 2.5 hours on a show. We've hit an hour mark here, so I have to listen all the way through, so that's a minimum of an hour. Plus,
right, just to listen.
Just
sure,
to listen, and then you take out the edit. So this one will be 3.5 to 4 hours of edit. But you're worth it, John. You are worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
What advice would you like to offer to podcasters or potential podcasters looking to start their show?
I had thought about that. There were two things two pieces of advice that I could give. One is, the most important is just get to know your audience and try and figure out who your audience is. I mean, it's going to be dynamic. You're going to be gathering an audience and, you know, using that feedback to change your podcast, which in turn will change your audience. But even, you know, think about trying to get a mailing list going, or podcasts are going to be judged by the audiences that they can bring in. And especially in the future, you're looking to become more and more commercial. You know, anybody that's going to want to sponsor or advertise, they're going to want to know who the listeners are. So get to know your audience. And then the other thing that I had thought of, which is just more of a real hands-on thing for anybody that's doing their podcast. Two great sites. One that I've used in the past is called Template Monster. It's templatemonster.com. And that's a whole bunch of website templates. So if you're doing your site yourself and you want to take a lot of the work out of it and have a user interface that's pretty clean, you can get stuff up there for like $20 or $30. And then in the same vein too, there's another site called istockphoto.com, which is a bunch of stock photography, royalty-free photography. And it's dirt cheap. It's like, you know, less than $1 a picture. So if you're looking for some professional graphics and you want to do it yourself, you can save yourself a lot of money and time by going over there.
Great. Excellent advice. John, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with John from The M Show. You can check out his site, and I recommend you do, at www.themshow.com. That's themshow.com. John, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciated interviewing you and talking with you, and looking forward to meeting up with you at GnomeDex. Normally at this point, I ask you to send in an email to say if you want to be on the show, but I am now booked up on my shows through mid-July on interviews, which will probably take me to the end of July in shows. But I do need promos, so please, if you have any promos you'd like me to play at the end of the show, please send promos to podcast411@gmail.com. Thanks. Also, with regards to everyone that has sent in a request to be on the show, if you have not heard back from me yet, I am still going through my emails, and I will be getting back with you and working out a schedule to get you on the show. So please be patient with me over the next week, but I will be getting back with you. I need to listen to the shows first. Again, I will be contacting you. Today's outgoing promo will be the UK Podcast Directory for Schools. So it doesn't always have to be a promo for podcasts. It can also be a promo for services. And then, speaking of directories, this leads us into our next thread, and that is, on our next show, our guest will be Gary from Podcast Pickle. We'll talk to him about what he's doing there to help listeners and podcasters. Lastly, a quick little rant. I just want to know what's wrong with my t-shirts. I've sold two. We've had 1 million hits on the website since the beginning of the year, and I've sold 2 t-shirts. So there's seriously something wrong. Please let me know. Is it the price? Is it the logo? Is it the artwork? Is it both? Just to let you know, we were the first podcast site that, as near as I know, that had a podcaster mascot. Our little logo, our podcaster logo, the little pea pod with the fishing cast, he's podcasting, hence a podcaster. We've had him since December, so if anybody knows of one earlier, let me know. But I believe he is the first one out there, the first mascot for a podcast site. And he's real cute. And then the other t-shirt is a picture of Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt with the old see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. The only difference is with in Churchill, instead of him not hearing no evil, he's got a little iPod in his ears. I thought they were cute. Love your feedback on that. Should I just totally take all the t-shirts off the site? That's the only thing I have out there. I'm not going to be begging for money. I'm not going to put a tip jar up. I just thought I'd put out some t-shirts. I'm not making really anything off of it. If I only sold two, I'm not making anything. So that's enough of my rant on the t-shirts. Give me your feedback. Tell me what you think on the t-shirts. What's wrong with them? I'd love to hear from you. As always, this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Welcome to the first UK directory of podcasts for schools. Our aim is simple, to search the internet and present the best quality podcasts we can find to support teaching and learning. Explore with us the educational potential of podcasting. Selected podcasts can be viewed at our website, www.ipodcast.org.uk. If you have a podcast suitable for children and young people, please let us know. If you're not sure how to get started with podcasting, contact us via our website, www.ipodcast.org.uk. We look forward to hearing from you.